Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
He brings the passion.
For what? I want to know now. I'm mentally invested. Don't tell me to pray and you don't say what for.
He brings the perspective.
Yeah, I think they both have a great point.
Get off me, text line.
He's truly one of a kind.
That is wow.
Oh, my God. Oh.
And he's doing a great job.
Okay. I need you to man up and say what you really want to say.
Simon, you're doing a great job.
And together, they are Steiny and Guru.
Yeah.
On 95.7 The Game.
Difference of 2 seconds, the game clock and the shot clock.
Worst case scenario, we're going to overtime.
Jokic a screen, Murray to try to break the tie.
No time now by the Lakers, I gotta go.
James, a bump, a feed, a pinch shot, no! Zero's on the clock, the Nuggets advance! They have won!
How about if I start today with an unbelievable statistic?
Kevin Harlan, TNT.
Evan Giddings, in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. Guru's got some family stuff to take care of. How about this stat to start the show? This is the first time since 2005 that neither Steph Curry, LeBron James, or Kevin Durant did not make the second round of the playoffs. It's pretty unbelievable. I mean, I'm not breaking any news here by suggesting that there's a changing of the guard occurring in front of our eyes in the NBA right now. And the question of today is, what does it mean for the Golden State Warriors, who won four titles over the span of a decade, but finds himself in a little bit of no man's land right now? Evan, good morning, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Love out to Gu and his family. Hope he's doing well. Looking forward to seeing him tomorrow. But we are looking at, and we've talked about the transition that the Warriors ideally are going through, not just this season, this summer, in the near future. The whole league is going through a transition, and I think that's what we saw in the first round, because the league now more than ever is about young, up-and-coming, rising, established stars. The fading stars, LeBron, Durant, Curry, we'll see what happens with the Clippers. Their time is no longer. Steiny, the yes. Era of the big three is dead. It's over. It's about the Doncic's, the Tatum's, the Jokic's, the SGA's, the Anthony Edwards. It's not about the players in their mid to late 30s anymore. And that's the reality that I think a lot of people have been hit with by watching this first round series. And I'm sure the reality that the Golden State Warriors are trying to wrestle with is they figure out how they want to embark upon this summer.
Yeah, and that's the question of today. Well, there's not one. And one of the things I'm hoping for today is we just and talk about all these aspects of where the Golden State Warriors are right now. And, you know, we talked about this team for 6 months, and some thought they were better than they ended up. Some didn't think they were as good as they ended up. But where they go for now, or from here, I should say, is just, it's going to be fascinating. And, you know, I'm just going to be throwing out some questions for Warrior fans and just want to get into a discussion on where they are, where they want to go, how far they could go in an off season, and whether it's reasonable or feasible to get back into the top tier of the NBA. And I want to know, Warrior fans, if you've been watching the playoffs, if you can remember how you felt when the Warriors got beat against Sacramento and everything you heard from the team and the idea that maybe if you would have won a game or two, you could have played Minnesota or gotten a shot at Denver or maybe even played the Oklahoma City Thunder. For all the people out there that thought the Warriors, if they got into that spot, could have done damage, I'm wondering if after you've watched most of the first round play out, if you still believe that the Warriors would have given any of the top three teams a series, whether it's Denver, whether it's Minnesota, or whether it's Oklahoma City. Because that to me is a starting point. Because if we're still in the mindset that we could have been in these playoffs and competed, to me, it suggests you go down one avenue. But if you're looking at these playoffs saying, my goodness, these teams are young, they're long, they're athletic, we're more than a step or two away from getting back there, then maybe you go down another avenue. But where are the Warriors right now, and what do you do? 888-957-9570. What's hit you the most, let's say, in the last 2 weeks since the Warriors were beaten by the Kings and watched the playoffs so far?
Well, watching the first round, I never felt like the Warriors would beat any of the top three seeds. So that's OKC, Minnesota, Denver. I personally just didn't think that they'd beat them 4 out of 7 in the first round. But what was disappointing to me about them not making the playoffs is to get a literal gauge of how far you are away. Right. Because we still don't technically know that. I know you can make the comparison of, well, the Warriors lost to the Kings, the Kings lost to the Pelicans just got swept by the Thunder. That to me is a little unfair. I can't make that sort of leap. But it does mean that you're in a tougher spot in regards to gauging how far you feel like you are from, whether it's contention, or I think, honestly, it's kind of just the playoffs. I mean, we're going to hear some sound from Curry in just a moment about what he thinks that this team can do this summer, or what they need in order to get into the postseason. But to me, Steiny, it's really the Warriors moving forward, it's about trying to remain relevant and competitive. And what we're finding out from the Western Conference, the East is in a completely different situation. But in the Western Conference, is if you're going to make a drastic move, and there's a couple players whose names have been floated due to their first-round flameouts, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Paul George perhaps, you know, there's some trade candidates on the market that are viable. You know, do the Warriors go out and make a drastic move to try and improve themselves, or do they make a drastic move to tear this thing down slowly, or do they just remain in the same position they were and they'll try and figure out and hope that they're 3 wins away from being a 6 seed next season? I mean, I do think there are so many avenues for this team to move down. In a way, they have the freedom to do whatever they choose. But the issue is that I don't think whatever they do this summer is going to make up the kind of ground that we just saw the Denver Nuggets establish against the Lakers, the Thunder establish against the Pelicans, and then the Timberwolves establish against the Phoenix Suns. I'm not sure how many teams are getting worse in the Western Conference. And the Warriors right now are kind of in limbo.
Yeah, and the place I think we got to start and stop rolling your eyes if you think you know where I'm going. But the reality of the situation is that Golden State Warriors owner Joe Lacob made a phone call to the Los Angeles Lakers at the trade deadline asking about LeBron James and if he were available, according to reports. Lakers said he's not. But that was in the middle of the season, and the Lakers have just been eliminated. So where I want to start is, what's up with LeBron James, who's got an opt-out in his contract?
Was there any thought at all that, you know, this could have been your last game with the Lakers?
I'm not going to answer that. Appreciate it.
There it is. So maybe LeBron has played his last game with the Lakers. Is he on the table for the Golden State Warriors? And even if he's on the table, what are the avenues to get him? Boy, are they going to be complicated. They're going to be constraining financially, and they're probably going to take a pound of flesh out of you if you're the Golden State Warriors. The Phoenix Suns have been eliminated. Kevin Durant is not going to the second round. So what do you do if you're the Golden State Warriors? And you know, a lot of this, too, we can just talk hoops. I mean, when you watch Minnesota and Denver, what's the biggest need for the Warriors? I mean, is it simply to get younger? Is it to get more athletic? Is it to switch up the personnel so the pieces fit a little better? A lot of questions. And then lastly, and I threw this at you before the show, because this is just how we're starting it, by kind of spitballing a little bit. What's the biggest priority for the Warriors this offseason? Just their biggest priority, the biggest decision. What do they got to do?
In terms of a player, a theme?
Yeah, a move.
So, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's also reflective of the position they're in. It's I mean, everything is...
Right.
Sure. I don't know. But I think the biggest thing for me, and I guess I'll, in the words of Curry, tweak my answer from a couple weeks ago.
All right.
I thought it was to get younger, and I still do think that's a priority. I mean, the average age of the roster needs to come down. You got to find more players that are in their 20s, that are in their 30s, that are going to be difference makers in this team. But it's not just getting youth or getting younger. It's getting more mature and not experienced. You know, I'm not talking about bringing a grown-up in the room like they did last summer with Chris Paul. There's a lot of immaturity on this roster. From both young and old players. I don't think Draymond Green is an extremely mature individual. You can make a case for the first couple months of this season, Klay Thompson was not mature about how his basketball mortality was looking. I don't think Jonathan Kuminga has been mature enough to help the Warriors. He looks like he's beginning to turn a corner, but he's not there yet. There's a lot of immaturity on this team. Pajemski at times this year, as a rookie, understandably so, has made immature choices on the court. I don't know if there's enough maturity on this roster, Steiny, for me to feel comfortable with them all of a sudden going in a different direction from this season. Andrew Wiggins has played or looked at times immature. And what do I see on Oklahoma City? I see young players. I see mature players. Minnesota. Some younger players. Anthony Edwards looks mature. Jaden McDaniels looks mature. All these players are 25 and younger. Tatum in Boston, mature. So it's not just about the average age, and it's not just about the youth. It's about making sure the Warriors can become a more mature team than they have been the last two seasons.
This from the Xfinity Mobile text line. You trade the farm to get a younger superstar, not LeBron. LeBron talks like he has nothing more to prove. The it's just basketball comment rubbed me the wrong way. Okay, so you're not into LeBron James. I get that. Last week, Steph Curry won the NBA's Clutch Player Award, and he went on with TNT, Barkley, Kenny Smith, Shaq, Ernie Johnson, and they asked him about the Golden State Warriors and their season. And how close or far they are from getting back into contention. I want you to take a listen to Steph Curry's answer.
I mean, the sad part was just missing three wins to, you know, get out of the play-in and have yourself in a playoff series where, you know, even like a game like Sacramento in the play-in tournament we had, you know, you're looking at, oh, okay, we're down one and can find a way to game plan to try to get back in the series. Obviously, early in the year, we had a lot of missteps and some absences, but you do realize, like, we're not that far off, even, you know, having tried to stay at this level, at this peak for so long. There's going to be some tweaks. We know, like, when you lose, you have to look yourself in the mirror and say, you know, what can we do to get better? What holes can we fill? And thankfully, we have some time to figure that out. So, you know, a lot of conversations with upstairs, with Coach Kerr to try to figure out how to get back to the level that we expect. I didn't answer anything specifically about what we need, but we're going to figure that out over this summer.
All right. So, couple things there. And listen, Steph is a great spokesman. and he knows how to talk on national TV, and he knows what not to say that could get him not into trouble, but be a little bit controversial. But the reality of the situation is, you know, he harped on a few things, and one is that they were three wins away from being a six seed, okay? He said, we're not that far off. And he also said, you know, we know that a couple tweaks are coming. All those three things suggest that the Warriors won't make, let's just say, dramatic changes. But here's the biggest problem I have with what Steph said. And again, he's trying to speak positively and in the right way. So he might not be telling the whole truth and nothing but the truth. All right, he's got to be a diplomat here. There's no doubt about it. By the same token, Warrior fans and Curry and Kerr continue to harp on, well, you know, with a few more wins, we would have been a six seed. Okay, three more wins gets you a six seed. But don't we now know you were going nowhere against Denver, Minnesota, or Oklahoma City? I mean, you were not going to beat those teams. So, I don't know, I have a million thoughts going through my head. One is, if we're talking about a few tweaks to get back up to six, well then let's acknowledge the idea of another title is over. The next step next year would be to get into the playoffs without the play-in game, see where we're at that point, and reassess. But, like, I don't know, the idea that three more wins would have made a dramatic difference, would it have been different? Let's say, theoretically, was there a difference between losing to the Sacramento Kings in the play-in, and let's just say getting beat by the Minnesota Timberwolves in five games?
No, but how many people are still thinking about the Warriors as a championship team?
I think there are still a large percentage.
I think there's a lot of people that want them to compete for a title, but I think our fan base is pretty educated, is pretty smart. They're intelligent. They're not looking at this team like they're just going to flip the script and run the table next year. And I don't think they thought that was going to happen this season.
Well, I don't know about that.
They were going to be a finals appearing team. Coming off a second-round flameout last year?
Well, I mean, I would just tell you what Guru was pounding into my head for 6 months, that when Joe Lacob came into this studio before the season, love the team, we can make a run, we have the pieces, this, that, and the other thing. I would assume he was talking about a championship. But listen, I'm with you. I think there's a – I don't know what the percentages are of where the fan base is in terms of – the realisticness, if that's a word, of winning another title. But there still does seem to be, Evan, out there, a lot of everything for Steph or and I don't want to make this about whether it should all be for Steph or not, but it's about, to me, as an organization, you've got to acknowledge that you're further away from a title than maybe you thought, or you're further away than is realistic to make up in 1 year. I guess what I'm saying is, if we stop talking about title or bust, it makes the future look like it could be way more positive than if those are the limitations you're putting on this team.
See, I think you're confusing title or bust with just general fan optimism. Like, I don't know what you expect fans to want or to approach the season with outside of optimism. I mean, that's just what they do. I did not hear the term title or bust this season with the Golden State Warriors. I don't recall hearing it heading into the season. This idea that...
Really?
You don't think title or bust?
Well, what's make a run? Like, what, to me...
Try and get to the second round.
Yeah, I always
try and win a series.
Well, I always took make a run as, like, make a run so that we're back to being a title contender after people see what we do in these playoffs.
But you could read the tea leaves of the team. Okay, so there was still talk about championship midway through the season, and I generally judge it based off of the Steve Kerr interviews that he does with Willard and Dibbs, and the guys do a fantastic job. You could tell the tone and tenor of his... I don't know, title or just contending aspirations dwindle month to month, whether it's because a player was inconsistent or there was lack of productivity or maybe Kerr was afraid to lean into some of the younger players, or Draymond got suspended. Each and every month, it felt like the tone was, oh, you know, we still think we got a chance, which I don't know what else they're supposed to say. What are they supposed to say? They're done. Then to, well, I think we can make a run. Well, I think we just got to play good basketball. Like that, in a way, that was declining probably from November or December on. Like maybe you read the optimism of the fan base as them expecting a championship. I took it as this is a team that has a lot of flaws, that doesn't really know where it's going in the future, and is just trying to maximize this season. And that's all they can really do at this point is take it 1 year at a time. So now that's been reset because they got an offseason to make some moves. There's potential big names out there. What are they going to do? And that naturally is going to rekindle the fan base's optimism because they want to see this team be good.
Well, I'm going to go two ways here. One is the Warrior fans, you're right. They're impossible to paint, you know, as a monolith. There are a lot of fans out there that think this thing's over. There are some fans out there that think this team is still a hell of an offseason away from getting back on top. I truly believe that. But, like, I cannot dismiss all the calls we took for the last 2 or 3 months as this team went 27-12 in the last 39. And there was a lot of optimism from a lot of fans. And to me, the optimism, I'm not gonna criticize it because that's what makes where the Warriors are to me so tricky. Is no, they're not a 25 win team. They won 46 games. So we gotta figure out where we're at. And to me, the minute the Warriors figure that out, maybe they already have. I mean, you brought up an interesting point about might be easier to start tearing this thing down after next year than this offseason.
Or you could start that process this offseason and make it easier on yourself next offseason. I'm not sure you can even if you wanted to, I'm not sure how you could completely tear this thing down without selling your stock for pennies on the dime. Like, this team does not have a lot of optically or just in terms of basketball great pieces to move.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's say just hypothetically, Joe Lacob and Mike Dunleavy, just they're like two fans. One guy thinks there's a chance we could still put this back together in 1 year and next year shock the world. We owe that to Steph. And then there's another who thinks, I think that's unrealistic, but we are a 46-win team right now. Let's try to win a few more games next year. And like, I don't have a problem with that philosophy, but that philosophy is not a championship philosophy, which I kind of subscribe to right now. Like, that's kind of what I would, if, like, what do we know about the Golden State Warriors now? That the one thing we know is they won 46 games. Okay, so it's realistic to think, hey, can we have an offseason where our young guys get a little better, we make the right move, a tweak here, a tweak there. Could we win 50 next year? You know what? I'll give you, it's within the realm of possibility. Who knows what's going to happen? Maybe they do. But I get the sense there's a large portion of the fan base, or a significant portion, that's not good enough. Because of the standard that the team has set. So then
maybe that's where the expectation comes from. And I think it also has to do with how much money is spent on the roster.
Like, give it to Joe Lacob. He kind of sets that expectation with all his talk. He does.
Well, but he's won four. I mean, what else is he going to want? I mean, this isn't Oklahoma City. Making a 14-win improvement from last year to this year is not something that really matters much unless you bring home the bacon. Like, I understand why Joe Lacob expects championships, especially when he's footing the largest bill in the history of basketball. But next season, Steiny, if he does achieve his goal, which is to get under the tax, you think the expectation is still going to be to win a championship? I think that as long as the investment numbers are astronomical, then yes, you should expect to win. But that's also because of the standard, like you said, that they've set. Now, what is the standard? What is the standard of Golden State Warriors basketball? Is it still a championship? Because it doesn't feel like it.
okay, then like I would ask, why'd Laker pick up the phone and call the Lakers about LeBron? Because to me, there's something in Joe Lacob that feels like, you know, if we get a guy in here like that and give up the right players and get that guy alongside Steph, we can win another championship. Like, he's got to be thinking that, right? For that specific phone call.
Well, I think Joe Lacob is always trying to swing a big move. There was reports that a couple of years ago, he made a call about Kevin Durant before he re-upped in Phoenix or was traded there and then signed a large contract. I think Joe Lacob is probably trying to figure out if the Indiana Pacers win tonight, how he could go get Giannis. Or if and when the New York Knicks take down Philly, how he might be able to get Embiid.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's trying to swing big. I'm not sure it's going to be able to happen. But yeah, you have to have that mindset. You have to have a mindset of making a game-changing move. Otherwise, you might get lost in the dust. And that's kind of how he got to this point, by taking big risks, not necessarily bringing in big stars outside of Durant, but Joe Lacob. I also think it's interesting, Sonny, as I know we got to hit a break here in a minute, but I think it's interesting that Joe Lacob has not spoken yet this offseason. I think he is trying to figure out what the tone of the team is going to be and the theme of this summer is.
888-957-9570 is the number. The playoffs are underway. Teams are being eliminated as we speak. Where are you with the Golden State Warriors? 888-957-9570. On the other side, Brian Windhorst works for ESPN, tight with LeBron, covers the league. He just talked recently about, it was either this morning or this morning, he's got something to say about the Warriors, LeBron James, Joe Lacob, and what might happen in the offseason. We'll talk about that on the other side. But once again, where are you at with the Golden State Warriors right now after watching a big chunk of the first round of the playoffs? How you feeling about the way the season ended? You think they can get back in this thing in a hurry, or is it going to take some time? 888-957-9570. We'll be back to talk about it.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
To Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson, along with Matt Steinmetz, and the Lakers were eliminated.
I'm just glad you got your readers fixed.
These are different ones.
How many glasses do you have?
About four pair, and they because you lose them all the time.
It's like a pair of AirPods.
Yeah, I got something against the whatever they're called. You know, where you have them around your neck.
Yeah.
Where they just sit here like this. Here, I'll show it on
the
YouTube.
You look like you're keeping book at a baseball
game. You know what I mean?
Game.
Like a librarian. You know, where if they fall off your face.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
the glasses holders.
Yeah, it wraps around your neck.
Yeah, Jade has one. I call her Big Dork with it. She doesn't like that.
Then
yeah.
That's one of the reasons why.
You put some gold on it? A little silver?
I'll pass. And then you get the little old lady chain to come down. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or old man
chain. I have a lot of similarities to Steph.
I was going to say the Six Flags guy, but
to Steph Curry, and I think we're both, you know, we both see a little bit of our own mortality in the mirror right now. You know, Steph's basketball career and my life. There is a part of me that will never die. Mm-hmm. So 888-957-9570. How you feeling about the war? I want to start out the segment by listening.
It's sunny outside, by the way.
What's that?
I said it's sunny outside.
Well, why do we have can we do the drapes?
Well, because of the glare, you know. We got to look good, Steiny. We need that.
Oh, doesn't matter. What's it matter?
What do you mean?
Like, what does that matter?
I mean, you're trying to look your best.
I'm a grown man.
We talked
man.
About this yesterday. Look good, play good.
Yeah. Slobs can play well, too.
Jamal Murray had a pretty fresh line last night.
There have been slobs who have won NBA titles. How about that? I got to hear this wind horse sound from ESPN. This is on LeBron, the Warriors, the Lakers. The offseason started for that team.
LeBron's contract for next year for the Lakers, if he opts in, calls for $51 million.
Right.
If he opts out, he is looking for contracts in that range. The Warriors have nothing like that. These other teams, like whatever you want to get on the board, whether you want to say Team X, Team Y, remember, $50 million per year, multiple years, the Lakers can give him. The idea of LeBron going to play for another team for $10 million, mid-level exception, or in the case of a tax-paying team, $6 million, even if you're going to cook up some scheme on a sign-and-trade contract, the Lakers would have to approve of that. Before you enter fantasy land, don't forget about the salary. The salary is important. I know LeBron's made a lot of money. He wants to buy an NBA team. You don't buy an NBA team leaving $50 million on the table.
That's Brian Windhorst of ESPN. And that's just about the idea of sniffing around LeBron James. I know that probably is something that divides the fan base to some degree, whether you even want LeBron James coming in here. But, you know, I'm looking at The Athletic, and we're going to jump into some calls in a sec, Evan. You know, I'm looking at The Athletic and Marcus Thompson of The Athletic a day or two ago. He actually threw 8, 10 names out there of players. They're either on another team's roster or they're going to become free agents. Zach LaVine, Brandon Ingram, DeJounte Murray, Miles Turner, Markkanen, Paul George, Kevin Durant, DeMar DeRozan, and the guy he didn't put on there was LeBron James, somebody that the Warriors owner called about. So they got to figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, if you kind of separate them into the categories of trade versus free agent acquisition. But you'd kind of need to sign and trade with, it sounds like, LeBron, Paul George, and I guess KD would be a straight-up trade. But, you know, DeMar DeRozan's going to be a free agent this offseason. LaVine you'd have to trade for. Murray you'd have to trade for. Turner and Markkanen you'd have to trade for. Of the names on that list, Steiny, which one do you feel like is the most likely to be a savior?
Oh, boy. A savior?
Well, again,
or the best. You know, make the Warriors as good as they can be in the short term.
Exactly.
Fair.
To reach their potential.
Well, I'll tell you right now, Paul George. I like Paul George more than I've ever liked him before. I think he's still a hell of a player.
You like his podcast?
I love his podcast. He's the only NBA player that does a podcast who does it not about himself.
What about Draymond?
Draymond's podcast is about Draymond. Paul George's podcast is about the people he has on his show to be a guest. He's learned from the greats like Merv Griffin and Ellen.
Ellen DeGeneres?
Yes.
Hey! Spadone.
What the hell did... Whoa! We're talking about one of the greatest comedians of our time.
Also doesn't treat her employees very well.
Hey, that allegedly.
I'm out on that.
Allegedly.
I'm out.
Allegedly.
Yeah, it's just a rumor.
Let's start with coaches in Vallejo.
I'm out.
What's up, coach? How you doing, man?
Hey, good morning, Steiny.
Hey, Evan. Buddy.
You know, Steiny, I'm starting to agree with you more and more, and because you tell it like it is. And Evan, I also agree with you also on the maturity aspect. The first immature person I think with the Warriors is Steve Kerr.
Ooh.
He's delusional. He believes he could still play a 6'6 guy at center in this day of long athletic ball players. And that's where we are now. The big stars of the past, the Durant, Curry, LeBron, they no longer separate themselves from the pack. I mean, they're just very good players now. They're not even MVP candidates now. The league is a lot longer, a lot more athletic. You have to be able to shoot with people draped all over you, like Murray and Shai Gilgeous and these type of athletes. That's what the Warriors need. I think the entertainment factor is just as important as winning. So right now, everyone knows the Warriors are a long ways from a championship team, but they need to get a lot longer, a lot more athletic, bring some more excitement into the arena, because that North Carolina Dean Smith four-corner offense no longer works in today's NBA. The guys are just too long and too athletic.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate the call. Warriors running that four corners. Remember when they beat
Wenzel 145.
Remember when they beat Boston in 2022 Game 7?
Mm-hmm.
They beat them 44-39. They ran that four corners and they just held the ball. They just would not let Boston have it.
It is pretty unbelievable. I'm younger than you, but to think that that was a viable
strategy.
Dude, it was
unbelievable
back in the day.
So there was no shot clock, and the North Carolina had a guy named Phil Ford, who was incredible. Just a great ball. You know what he was like? Very similar to Chris Paul back in the day. And North Carolina put four guys on the court with him. Two guys stood in the corner, essentially. And then two guys stood very high up near half court. And they had this thing where they could just, he would dribble. They double team him. He'd throw out to a guy. He'd go get it back. They'd run minutes off the clock if they wanted to.
Well,
and then there were also times when the teams would play them and maybe they'd be down three or four and North Carolina would start running four corners and they'd just be like, we're just going to sit here in our zone for a few minutes, buy ourselves some time.
Oh, it's like the first ever basketball game was 1-0.
Was it really?
It was a slugfest. There was no rules. They just fought each other.
You sure what? Okay.
Shout out Naismith.
We got a Canadian, by the way. Let's go out to Ohio.
He's bad at his job.
Let's go to Ohio. Daniel, he's in Martinez. He wants to jump on this LeBron talk. What's up, Ohio Daniel?
Hey, Simon. Hey, Evan. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well.
Fantastic.
I think LeBron's coming back to Cleveland. I think he is.
Oh.
The Cavs are going to draft Bronny. Now, listen to me. We're going to draft Bronny, and LeBron has already announced numerous times that he is going to go and play his final season wherever his son goes. And I think Gilbert is going to do that. And I think he will spend his final season in Cleveland. But if the Warriors could get LeBron, they should do everything they can because he's still a top five player in the NBA.
So. Yeah, I'm not against that, Ohio Daniel, and thanks for the call. I mean, there's so many older, like,
I mean, look, don't get me wrong, LeBron played very well in the five-game series that they lost to Denver. In fact, you can make a case that should have won a couple of those games. I mean, LeBron was sensational. I thought Kevin Durant, despite getting swept, played really well in the first round series against Minnesota. Both of them were around 55% shooting, 27 points, 7-7. They played well. But adding an even older superstar than Curry, I'm talking about LeBron specifically, I just think it spells trouble.
What about Durant?
Durant, I would be more inclined to than LeBron, but just because his contract lines up with Curry.
Mm.
So you have 2 years at a, you know, insurmountable number, but at least you have a natural inflection point built in. I think KD probably is going to cost as much or maybe even more than LeBron, because LeBron's a, you know, a one and one. But the more I think about it, signing, neither of those two players get me excited. I mean, there's more star power coming to the Bay. There's obviously the previous relationship with Durant. But do I think that either of those two players are going to carry the Warriors over one of the top three teams we just saw basically just shellack where the Warriors were trying to get to?
Exactly.
I don't see it.
That's what worries me the most about a LeBron or a Durant or Paul George. Like, one part of me thinks, and we're talking about the Warriors and their future. 888-957-9570. Jump into the conversation. We got some people that want to talk about it. We will. I just don't like the idea of adding somebody 34, 35 years old.
Talking about 37 and age 40.
So, but I'm using 34, 35 because I'm lumping them all in together. Durant, yeah. LeBron. I'm even throwing Paul George in there.
He'll be 35.
I'm putting DeRozan in there, all those kind of
guys.
He's
35.
Like, I'm not, like, I just hate that idea right now after watching, especially watching this regular season of the playoffs. However, if you could swing a way to get one of those guys in here, I would understand what they'd be trying to do. And so I would get that part of it. If I had to rank the guys, I probably would want Paul George first because I think he's got the most left. I think he's pretty good. How could you turn down, like, if you can make a deal with LeBron for LeBron where you obviously are going to have to give up a ton of pieces and salary, the reason I wouldn't necessarily be against that or say that's dumb is because it'll speed up the process where you could probably get under the cap and then make something dramatic happen in a year or two. Because if you get LeBron in here, it's going to be on a short-term deal. So now you got he and Steph on short-term deals. You've obviously lost some of your players. Maybe Kuminga, so he didn't get paid. Maybe Wiggins, so he's off the books. Maybe Clay, so he didn't get paid. Who else am I missing? One other guy.
Oh, Moody?
No, they're going to have Draymond Green. But if you make that move and it doesn't work, boom, in a year or two, you know, everything kind of opens up in terms of your possibilities. And at least you can say, hey, we brought LeBron in here for a year, so it didn't work. But we might be in a better spot with financial freedom. The issue is, are the Warriors, here's the other thing we got, and this isn't for this year, but are the Warriors convinced they could land one of the elite free agents, not necessarily this year, but in the next 3 to 5 years, if they create enough money under the salary cap? I mean, I get that's an issue we don't really have to talk a lot about right now, but I actually have some doubts about whether they will be able to do that, even if they have the money to do it.
I think it depends on who the other free agent players are, but sure. I think the Warriors have reason to believe that they could be a top 3 or 4 destination. Like, when someone comes out and says, you know, where am I committing? Alabama, UNC, Georgia. In the NBA free agent circle, I think the Warriors are one of those teams. So does that mean they'll get a guy? I'm not sure, but they're right now still a marquee franchise, I believe. So that's for further down the line. I think if we're looking at the shopping list of players that we're talking about.
Yep.
I think for me, first, it would be Durant, just again, because of the alignment of his contract. I also think of the three players, LeBron and Paul George, the other two, he's the most durable of the three. He's played the most minutes in the postseason in recent memory, and he's still playing at a high level. LeBron would be second because of the short-term contract. And I know that Paul George is the youngest of the three and might be the player you like the most, but you're going to have to give him a new contract.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing I don't want to acquire this offseason if I'm the Warriors is another 4 or 5 year mega deal, unless I'm paying a younger player that. We could talk about Kuminga and what he's worth and what he's not, but I'm more inclined to give Kuminga a longer deal to see what he is than to go out and get Zach LaVine or to bring in, I don't know, I'm not sure who else has a large enough contract, but Levine's got like three or four years left. Paul George, you'd have to probably give a 3 or 4 year contract to. Those players, to me, I don't want any part of, because I'm afraid we're going to end up in this same spot, Steiny, next offseason, of looking at these guys and saying, you didn't perform up to your contract, how do we get off of it?
Yeah.
And the Warriors cannot set themselves up to get off of Jordan Poole last offseason, get off one of their Albatross contracts this offseason, and then continue to look forward to getting off of big deals in the future. I just think that sets them back even further.
You know, it's interesting. I asked, I threw this out there, and feel free to jump in at 888-957-9570. But what is the top priority this offseason for the Warriors? And, I guess the number one priority would, in theory, be acquire a superstar. Well, I'll second that.
Yeah.
Like, okay, that would be the number one priority. But Brian Windhorst is saying that's pie in the sky. Okay, so of all the moves that we're looking at this offseason, what would be the biggest priority for you, Evan, with just the guys on the roster? Like, just the guys on the roster. Not let's see if we can go get Giannis, or let's see if you know Paul George, because
Joel Embiid.
Or Joel Embiid. Like, no. I'm talking most about, let's go through the Warrior roster. Chris Paul is essentially a free agent.
Yeah.
Klay Thompson is a free agent. They have Wiggins under contract. They got Steph under contract. They got Kuminga poised to be paid, but doesn't have to be right now. But all indications are they can go that route. They got Draymond under. Like, what, using the guys on the roster, and I'll ask this to Warrior fans at 888-957-9570, what's the first priority?
It's Andrew Wiggins.
What's the biggest priority?
For me, it's moving off of Andrew Wiggins' contract. Because I just laid out the contracts I don't want a part of this team. I don't want long-term, underperforming, inconsistent deals. Andrew Wiggins has been the epitome of that now for two seasons. I also think the second reason is because he's a stopgap for a lot of your up-and-coming players. Whether you think Kuminga's an all-star or not, Wiggins is in his way. I think he's also in Moses Moody's way, if that's someone you value.
Yeah.
The Warriors have a logjam of forwards right now that are their most inconsistent and potentially flawed players. Klay Thompson's a part of that. Andrew Wiggins a part of that. Draymond Green, for non-basketball reasons, is a part of that. And you could even throw Kuminga in there if you want. But I think they have to make a choice between those four guys. And if I'm selecting one I want to move off of, I think the Warriors can be as good or potentially even better with more runway for younger, rising players, which is what we've seen the postseason is going to reward you in the long term by getting off of Wiggins' contract. And that's where I'd start.
Yeah, 888-957-9570 is the number. Where would you start, Warrior fans? When I look at the Warriors and the decisions they have, I see Klay Thompson, who's a free agent. And I think there's a lot of people out there would say, well, Klay's a priority. I don't want to sound cold, but to me, Klay isn't a priority. Because in a crate, like you asked me about, and I get the conundrum. This is a team that is going to need more shooting. So why would you get rid of Klay Thompson, or why would you let Klay Thompson walk? I think there's a scenario in which you could let Klay Thompson walk and be better next year. I'll use the guru. It's outside my pay grade. But I think there's a possibility, or I think it's within the realm of possibility, you could get a player in there. First of all, they have Pajemski and they have Moody.
Yeah.
If you empower them, how much worse, okay, I'll be honest, like, I'll put it this way. How much worse can they be than Klay was last year for long, long stretches? And they'll be better defensively. Like, I actually think, in conjunction with another move or two, you could lose Klay, get a different kind of two in here completely, maybe even a defensive-minded two, and you could be better. You could be better. Now, you're going to have to do some other things. So that's why, to me, Klay is not a huge priority. And here's the other reason I don't think Klay's a huge priority. Apparently, if you're bringing him back, he's a six man anyway. So, I mean, he's one of the all-time greats, but you know, how much of a difference maker is he right now? 888-957-9570. Yes, sir.
1 second, son. I just want to make sure we get this super chat in from YouTube, powered by First North
Mitch
Cal Credit
Mitchman?
Union.
No. Hey!
ADCO Pest Control.
Oh, we got to go back. There was one from Mitch Mitchman. I'll get that one.
Okay, I got you. So this is from ADCO Pest Control. Warriors should let Dre walk, should have let Dre walk last season, then let CP3 and Clay walk this offseason. They could have had plenty of space to build a contender around Steph. That's light years.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the one thing, when we were talking about priorities and Draymond Green's name came up, and I said, yeah, I'd probably look to move him. And he's going to be tough to move because only a few teams are going to want him, and he's tough to replace. But, you know, to me, I think we're at that time. I mean, if the goal, like, here's the other thing that I think. If, let's do it practically, where you say, Steiny, there's not as many unrealistic people who think this team's going to win a title again as you. You think, like, that's half the fan base. It's not actually.
Well, it's dwindling by the minute.
Sure. So if a few tweaks gets you back to 49, 50 wins at a six seed, and that's the new normal, I absolutely believe you could get there by making the right trade for Draymond Green. Absolutely, I believe that. Again, is it going to be challenging? Yeah, but you got to look at all the avenues. Junior's in Pacifica. What's up, Junior? How you doing, man?
Fine, thank you. Good discussion, gentlemen. I don't think Clay is a must for the Warriors, but I think he's a preferred option for us. I think that the thing that excites me most, I don't see a way that the Warriors get to be a championship team again during Steph's years. He's very slowly, you know, bumping down a little bit in his play. His turnovers are not dropping with his production. So that's a negative against the slowly declining positive. I think that Kuminga might improve as fast as Steph declines, but the combination of the two of them doesn't ever get to amazing, I believe. So to me, the most exciting option is to bring in KD. We would have to trade Kuminga to do that for the reasons that you guys were saying. So KD and Steph finish up at the same time, and then you're open for a rebuild and a new approach to basketball than the Splash Brothers brought all these years ago. I think it would be entertaining, fun, successful, not championship successful, but you get people in seats. And it would be enjoyable. It would be a great story as well. And be respectful to Steph, giving him every chance to, you know, do something amazing like they did a couple of years ago. In retrospect, that was a pretty amazing title. Maybe there's one more of those, but we can't count on it. Maybe we can hope for it. And I think KD's our best bet to get in that range.
Appreciate it, Junior. That's Junior in Pacifica. I mean, when we talked about the 2022 championship, like nobody would ever give that up. That championship is what is going to be a great legacy separator, I think, for Steph Curry. Not that he wouldn't have been remembered as an all-time great with three rings, but that number four, that slammed the door shut on any kind of criticism or any kind of, let's say, maligning of Steph Curry as one of the all-time greats. There's no doubt about it. But I think we also got to acknowledge that winning that title caused this team to go in a little bit of a different direction that they might be paying the price for now had they not made that run. But I get it. Like, and it's okay, great statement, Stein. I'd say they would have been better if they wouldn't have drafted Wiseman or they wouldn't have re-signed this guy or that guy. So maybe that's just kind of sour grapes on my part.
Well, no, I mean, I think the ending of the 19 finals is probably where the thing went incorrectly or
yes,
in the wrong direction.
Right.
I don't know if the 2022 finals or the championship has necessarily set them back as, I mean, I don't view that championship as setting them back because I honestly think if they hadn't won it, they probably still would have tried to keep the big three together. I mean, Klay Thompson had just come back from injury. I guess Draymond Green, the next year was in a contract season, but was still productive. I mean, if Draymond had played 74 games in a contract year, even if they hadn't won the championship, but they, I don't know, let's say got to the second round of the conference semis, or the conference finals, I still think they would have probably leaned into the big three. I mean, at the end of the day, you have the most unique dynasty from the fact that the three guys have been together the entirety of the time. And I just don't know if they were willing to give up on that.
Right.
I just felt like, I mean, maybe it's now 2 years later, you're under the reality, you're under this idea that, you know, you can't just kind of retool around them. Like in 2022, they lucked out on a couple of really good veteran men's, and now they're going to figure out how to try and move forward in the same direction.
All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Warrior fans, you thought they were either close or far after the elimination game against Sacramento. You feeling the same way now? Do you feel like they're just a tweak away, or do you feel like something more dramatic has to happen? And if something dramatic happens, what's the most dramatic thing you'd like to see happen? 888-957-9570 is the number. Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, and LeBron James. First time since 2005 that none of those players are playing in the second round of the playoffs.
It's too old.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.